good information, you want some great analysis, you go to guys from Pro Football Focus, and in particular, Trevor Sikkema. He joins us right now. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, guys. How we doing? I appreciate you having me.
Good, yeah, thanks. We appreciate you being with us today. Which one's a bigger surprise, the Browns at 1-3 or the Commanders playing really well at 3-1?
Wow, good question. I honestly think it's the Browns side of things. This is a team that, you know, they've got a previous coach of the year winner in Kevin Stefanski, and obviously, you know, you weren't exactly sure what you were going to get out of this team and Deshaun Watson going into the year, but you figured the floor of this team was going to be much higher than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. I get it. You know, you built a lot of your offense, certainly your rushing attack around Nick Chubb. Now you don't have that caliber of running back, but I mean, still, the offensive line has just played much worse than I thought that they were going to. And the defense, we're fine. It's been a little bit more of a roller coaster, a little bit more up and down again than I thought that it would be as a group and as a whole. Because when we've looked at previewing this Browns team, I would say before each of the last, you know, three seasons, you look at this team on paper and you go, man, this is a strong team. Not that it's perfect, but there's a really good roster. There's some star power here on both sides of the ball, and you feel good about both the trenches, certainly. And it maybe wasn't as strong this year as it has been in the past, you know, knowing what was a little bit more disappointing from 2023. But a 1-3 start, especially how it looked out of the gate for this team, I am more surprised by. I figured that the Washington Commanders were going to be better than what people were expecting them to be. And I think that that's because I'm a bit of a Dan Quinn apologist. I think that he's a really dang good head coach. I thought that when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, even when they were struggling, you could tell that players loved to play for this guy and they never wanted to give up. And I think you saw them play to their best potential in Dallas's defense as well. So I was excited about Washington. I felt like they could be a sneaky wild card type of a team this year, although realistically, I felt like they'd maybe fall a game or two short. But them playing well, thinking that Jaden Daniels is kind of caught on fire here, that's not as much as a surprise to me as how low it feels the floor is for the Browns through the first four weeks, of the season.
Trevor, I want to feel like the Browns are like really bad, and then I start looking at other stats from around the league, and I'm wondering, you know, like the Browns can't get to 20 points, and I was just looking at that, and we were talking, it was yesterday. We were talking to Sal Palantonio, and he was throwing some numbers up, and I just want your reaction to this, that, you know, we're 1 month into the season, and we're talking about games being super tight. Like, eight games have been decided by 8 points 39 times, 7 points 38, and 6 points 32, and that's the least that we've seen in years, actually, just looking at that number, I'm just saying these games are super tight, and the Browns have been in three super tight games.
Yeah, no, and I think it goes into, you know, the grander conversation that a lot of people have been having, certainly over the last couple of weeks, is that defenses are sort of starting to fight back, right? I would say 3-4 years ago, especially, you were seeing offenses put up all sorts of points, and especially explosives, right? Maybe, I don't know off the top of my head if maybe the total points scored averages were higher, but offensive efficiency and especially offensive explosiveness was really high around the league three or four years ago. And we know that it's always a cyclical league. They tell us that it comes through cycles, you know, in one era, you know, maybe 5 to 10 year stretch, offenses are dominating, and then defenses will be able to adjust. I feel like we're starting to see defenses really, really come into their own to adjust for some of these explosive offenses and what they want to do. And, you know, these guys who come from college systems where they're really just looking to chuck it deep. You know, you're stretching out things horizontally at the line of scrimmage to really spread things out. And you get a lot of one-on-one matchups. So you put defenders into these pinch points, if you will, where you're basically reading one guy and you're throwing it high or low, or you're throwing it at a certain time. And I think defensive coordinators in the NFL, they're really starting to figure out with a lot of these two high shells, some of these deeper quarter coverages, you know, what they're doing with sim pressures and how they are bringing pressure on the pocket into these quarterbacks. Like, they seem to be in a groove right now. So you're right, kind of what Cleveland is going through as a team that's playing a lot of one-score games, that's not that unfamiliar with the rest of the league. Even some of the best quarterbacks and offenses in the NFL, it's not like they're sitting here scoring 30-plus, 40-plus every game. Those games are, it feels like, few and far between. So, you know, thankfully for the Browns, again, you know, it's not like the league's in a state where they're one of the worst teams out there. But again, this kind of goes into my disappointment of this team. I would have felt like the floor was higher to really be a team that could come out on top with these tight matches. And we just have not seen that so far this year with them.
Trevor Sikkema joining us from Pro Football Focus. Trevor is the lead NFL draft analyst there. With that thought in mind, Trevor, the Browns have made three trades for wide receivers. They picked up Amari Cooper. That certainly worked. They've picked up Jerry Jeudy. Looks okay so far, early returns, but haven't seen anything great. Elijah Moore has not worked out so well as of yet. But they've used three third-round draft choices on wide receivers: Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, Cedric Tillman. How have they, at least as of now, missed on all three of those guys? Or missed on the idea of adding a wide receiver in the draft who can really help?
Right. You know, when you look at it, you say to yourself, on one side, you could go like, well, they're third round picks, not really first round picks. But we do see wide receivers, big time contributors for teams drafted anywhere after round one. And so it's not like you can really use that as too much of an excuse there for them. You know, unfortunately, when I look at those three guys, I was skeptical on two out of the three coming into the league. And so them kind of fizzling out, not really being able to be focal points of a passing attack isn't really shocking to me. Anthony Schwartz was kind of just a one-trick pony, right? I mean, world-class speed, but such a small player, such a slender player that it was always going to be really tough for him to have a role that wasn't just, hey, we're going to put him on the field, hope the defense forgets about him deep, and we're going to hit a deep shot for him. So outside of that, I didn't really see a ton of value with him, even when I was watching his Auburn tape. David Bell, kind of this player that when you watched him and when you saw what he was able to do at Purdue and you get his background in high school football as well, like he was truly a do-it-all player. I mean, he had a ton of statistics, especially back in high school. He was an incredible high school football player. But then you just watch the Purdue tape, and even though some of the numbers, the raw statistics, the overall volume was there, when I watched him, I just didn't see an NFL athlete. And so, again, I thought he was overdrafted where he was. Now, Cedric Tillman, I do have some faith in. Like, I think that he could be a really nice contested catch type of a receiver for you. You know, he's somebody who, depending on how this wide receiver room looks next year, I feel as though he could step into one of those full-time starting spots. And I genuinely believe that he could be a good wide receiver for this team. But there's no doubt about it that, like, you need to be better at wide receiver, because these receiver classes, they're too deep, they're too talented for you to miss consistently again and again, even in the mid rounds. You've got to get better production out of that. We see it across the league too many times throughout the year. And so, yeah, I think that is also a point of why this team hasn't progressed in the passing game, is because they just haven't picked the right guys at receiver.
Trevor, obviously your forte is the draft, as well as, you know, just covering the NFL. And, you know, we've had spent a lot of years here covering the draft, and since we haven't had a first-round pick in a while, it's been, you know, kind of lame over the last couple of years. If the Browns go 1-4, should we go from 92-3 the fan to 92-3 the draft? At what point do we start focusing on the draft around here?
Well, any point in time, if you guys want to turn the page to the draft, PFF, it's up and running. I've been working on that bad boy since the summer, so I got you guys when that happens. But, no, I think that it's a decent class, especially for what the Browns team needs might be. You know, you look at their offensive tackle spots, and, you know, Conklin's been hurt, and Jones has been struggling, and Wills is on the last year of his deal. We don't really know what the future holds for them, so I think offensive tackle could certainly be in play for them in the first round. You got guys like Will Campbell from LSU, Kevin Banks Jr. from Texas, Ariante Ursary from Minnesota. These are three players who I think can be top 20 caliber types of offensive tackle picks if you really need to focus in on that offensive line and make sure that's a strength for you moving forward like it has been in the past. You know, wide receiver, obviously, like I said, every year is a really good year to need a wide receiver. And so I think that's something that there will be no shortage of there. You know, depending on what happens with that wide receiver group, I know they just traded and paid for Jeudy, but what happens around him, certainly, if they need to make a big splash there, again, I think that it is worthwhile for them to do so. And I like that the Browns are now in first-round mock drafts, because it feels like, you're right, for so many years,
it's home.
At least a couple of years there, it was like, oh, I was doing a mock draft, and then it's like, oh, okay, I technically have to do one pick in the second round or the third round because I don't want to leave Cleveland fans out. But now they're joining the party in the first round. Now you get to talk about some of these first-round guys, which can be exciting.
You're just welcoming us back to the party. We've been very, very good at doing our part as first-rounders.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think that, again, like, I'm just excited to do the first-round thing again. I really am with Cleveland. And, for y'all's sake, for the fans' sake, I hope you're not turning the page into draft season too quickly. I hope they can turn around here at least to make it an entertaining season for you down the stretch. But again,
good
you know,
answer.
Whenever you need,
good answer.
Whenever you need to. Whenever you need to. The mock draft simulator at PFF is wide open for you.
Trevor, last thought. Trevor Sikkema joining us from Pro Football Focus. If Deshaun Watson continues to play as he's played the first four games, whatever that might be, so there's been some ups, there have been some downs. If that's the way this goes for the rest of this season, what should the Browns do at quarterback at the end of the year?
I honestly think you got to draft one. I really do. Like he just now this past week was the best game that he has played in what, a year and a half at the very least, maybe the best game that he's played in a Browns uniform. And so if you want to say, hey, he's best foot forward, and if you know, if you're just looking back at the last game that he played, maybe there's reason to believe that, hey, you don't have to move on from him. Because, like, obviously, contractually, you don't want to. We're sitting here thinking that you might have to bench a fully guaranteed guy that's got one of the most uncuttable, untradeable deals that the NFL has ever seen. And so you don't want to be in a position where you have to do that. But simply put, I mean, the first 3 weeks of the season, he was a reason why they were not able to win. Now, he put them in position to do so last week. And so, again, it was a little bit different. And I think that certainly for your investment sake that you're hoping it turns around. But to me, if Deshaun continues to play poorly to the point where he is clearly a reason why this team is being held back, you have to draft one, in my opinion, because you already have the money tied up in him as the quarterback. You then need to get a quarterback on a cap-friendly, you know, deal as a rookie where you can get 4 or 5 years out of a cap-controlled rookie contract, and you have to let this thing be an open competition, and you've got to be able to say, hey, we made the wrong decision, but we can't just stick with this for the next 2 years if we know for sure it's not going to work out, because there's too much evidence now mounting that he is not the quarterback that you traded for, that you paid all that money to, that you saw in Houston. There's too much evidence to the contrary. So unless he really turns it around, you cannot go into next year with him as your quarterback in his current state.
Trevor, thank you.
Thanks,
we appreciate your time. You can follow Trevor on the X at Tampa Bay Trey, at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Trevor.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. Okay, so earlier in the show, Nick Costa said, two games, you bench him. Trevor just said, end of the year, still the same thing. You got to draft one. Yikes. Stay tuned for Sunday against the Commanders. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan.